Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Shannon Gillies and Thomas Hounslow on location in Portsea, reliving our
favourite summer pub jobs.
Favourite summer pub jobs, tourist season job mementos, and why Tom was able to stick it out in these places and I would just go from one seasonal job to the next. It should be hilarious. The view is amazing, which is probably not very good for radio, but we are looking out on what can only be described as incredibly awesome. The sea is packed with boats. There are small children running around. They don't belong to us, they belong to other people. Especially this small child coming up to us now.
How you going, buddy?
I will mine him for kidneys. New organs are needed.
Who needs donor cards when you have children?
This is so true. My siblings have already given up on the idea that any of my organs are going to be worth anything to them. Anyway, where are we, Tom?
Do you mean that literally or
literally, spiritually? Metaphorically.
Oh, we're doing it. Okay.
Yeah.
The Portsea Pub, obviously in Portsea. If I'm not mistaken, it's been open for over 100 years. It is probably the biggest pub on the Mornington Peninsula. And also the most expensive, but also puts out the most amount of meals. So either they're doing something very right, or people are willing to pay more for better meals.
Mm. Could be a bit of column A, column B.
Yeah.
Why has it got such a special place in your heart?
Mm.
You haven't repressed it like I've repressed some of my summer jobs.
I grew up down here every summer with my grandparents' joint. I've always loved Sorrento, which is the next door town. But when I started working in bars in Melbourne and various pubs and whatever, I figured I needed a summer job that was A, busy, B, kept me interested, and C, would actually be a bit of fun. So I thought the Portsea Pub would be a good one because they're always strapped for staff during their summer rush, which starts usually around December 15 and ends at the start of February, and they get all the massive amounts of tourists. Otherwise, it's a ghost town the rest of the year. But they make enough money during that period to last them a whole year. But if I'm not mistaken, each summer period, they would take on an extra 80 bar staff, 50 security, and about 30 chefs, if I'm not mistaken. And then you got simply the view here is incredible.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Looking over the bay. The people you work with are actually really cool people. A lot of the people you work with here are seasonal people.
Yeah.
So they'll work here in the summer, and then they'll go work in the bars in Mount Buller in the winter. And they'll just keep travelling all year and following the tourists, which is actually a really cool idea. And during the spring, they go to like Hamilton Island and stuff and work there. So they're constantly touring people, and they're really carefree. Great fun.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Hospitality, the people at the very most are interesting.
You work in an office or retail, it's pretty monotonous. It's day in, day out.
Yeah.
Because if you work in a bar, you never really know what's going to happen that day. You get an idea of what you're going to be doing, but that does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. One of my longest friendships, I mean, I've only been in Melbourne for a year, but one of the longest ones has been with, it was at my first job working at the station, and the sous chef walked in on me singing A Whole New World from the Aladdin soundtrack. And she's just like, wow, welcome to my Tuesday.
Yeah.
But it's one of those triggers, and you end up being friends with people more like that, whereas in offices I find it harder.
Well, I mean, in an office you've got nothing to talk about. There's except the work.
Except the work, and maybe you'll get up and you'll be by the water cooler.
Yeah. Hospitality, it's just a good job. You'll find that people who work in hospitality have bigger personalities, and that is because of working in hospitality.
Yes.
Hospitality produces interesting people, whereas if you meet a guy who's worked at Target all the way through uni, you'll probably find out pretty quickly because he's pretty boring.
Yeah.
A guy who's worked in, like, the roughest pubs and the hottest nightclubs, they've generally got some pretty cool stories behind their door.
Yeah, and because you've so many things go horribly wrong in hospitality, like, you know, your kitchen floods and you've got a wedding on, and you're just like, for the love of Jesus, I'm going to die.
Well, yeah.
It's character building, and you know exactly what to do in a crisis, whereas if you've just met people who just have solely worked, I think, retail or offices, it's this whole, like, oh, well, nothing can work today. Yeah. The small things happen, nothing can go on.
The most exciting thing that can happen to you in an office is if the printer breaks. And it's like, oh my god, what are we going to do? The printer's broken. We're going to have to hand write everything. It's really not that exciting. But in a pub, oh my god, the kitchen's burning down. That's interesting.
That is. That's an actual problem. Oh no, the Department of Immigration have turned up. There go my kitchen hands. Didn't happen to me. It did happen to a friend. She's just like, I think she's working in... She's working in Cornwall, and she had some illegal Brazilians working in her kitchen.
Oh,
she's telling the story where she has to actually appeal for, look, can we just finish the day? And so apparently there was a quick run up to the staff house as well, like, run. Yes, run.
I mean, as true as that is for places in the city, this place, definitely not.
Yeah?
There's no illegal immigrants in the kitchen, there's nothing shifty going on here. It's all above board.
That must be one of the huge appeals, because, I mean, you kept coming back to this place, whereas I would just... I would do one season, and I'm like, I'm not going back.
Oh, that's hilarious. That gave me such a pride.
It's very family-orientated around here, and not in the literal sense, but in the community sense. Everyone who works together is family, and you take care of each other, and... It's just a really, really good environment. It's an old school pub mentality that doesn't exist anymore.
Mm.
Definitely not in the city. If I wanted to go to a place, eat and leave, I'd go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're good for. Quick food, zero interaction and leave. Whereas if you go to a pub or a restaurant, you want some kind of atmosphere and interaction.
Yeah.
And that's what this place does.
I was somewhere in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago, and I ordered a meal and everything was going really well. And it wasn't until the end when I saw a waiter getting treated what I thought was quite unfairly by the maitre d' that I thought, I was going to tip all of you, and now I give you nothing because you've just taken my atmosphere away.
Yeah,
like, because you're not supposed, like, as a New Zealander, and you must find this as an Australian, you've grown up in a culture where you don't tip. But now that I've gotten older and I kind of do have that income where I can give it away, I'm not going to give it to someone who shits on enough stuff.
Yeah.
Because the atmosphere is such, it's so part of the meal.
Yeah.
Don't rob me of my scone experience with the tardiness, the shitty behaviour.
I've just found my one drawback of this place. Gautier's playing. Oh, that's not cool.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thing that I love about this place,
yeah.
Every summer, the women are incredible.
Do you mean like personality wise?
No. Wouldn't have a
beep
clue what they're like. All I know is it's good. It's a good view. If you know.
That's another advantage, isn't it, of the whole hospitality thing, is that you get exposed to so many different people and you're just like, wow, it is like a function of hotness. Not only do you sometimes get tipped well if you're a waiter, because if you're a chef, you get no tips.
No, you're at the back of the house. Yeah.
And all the waiters go, oh, give us some food. And then they're like, oh, we're going to keep all the tips to us.
So it's really funny, you being a chef, you have that point of view. Whereas we are like those chefs, those
beeps.
And if anyone's listening to this, you'll know what I'm talking about. Chefs, on majority, are
beep.
Period.
That is just so horrible.
It is so true.
Because it's sort of wherever I...
every chef grows up going, oh, I want to be Gordon Ramsay, so I must have his personality with it.
You beep.
You're horrible people. You're fundamentally horrible people.
That really sucks that that's the majority experience. I've worked, had the good luck of working with some chefs who have been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm in the room with them for 16 hours, and the room is the size of this...
Because they're not
beep.
Other chefs, they're
beep.
It's the white stuff.
Wait staff though. You get
yeah, see,
them.
This is a typical chef mentality. Of it's not our fault, the wait staff are useless. Okay, so we're the ones who have to deal with the customers when you guys stuff up.
Oh, what about when you guys forget to place an order?
No, we don't forget to place orders, you lose the tickets. Because you're like, oh, I'm so busy, and then oh the ticket's gone, oh the bloody wait staff. No.
Did you have a view on the age-old traditional rivalry between front of house and back staff?
Well, it's not a rivalry, it's just you guys are
beep.
Oh, come on. Look, some of the wait staff, you've worked with wait staff.
Look,
you must have worked with
no matter where you work, whether it's an office, retail, hospitality, whatever, there's always a bad egg. That is just fact. But you can't say that it's all the wait staff. It's you guys. Look, you're good for what you do. You push out the meals and that's great. But when you stuff up, you don't have to deal with the consequences. Other than that, you have to do it again.
Okay, I've let down wait staff once in my career when I've been like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not out the front.
See, that's not true.
That I'm aware of.
Yeah, see? That's what you think is the truth.
There's something about, okay, when wait staff come up to you and they've worked with you for 7 years. No, 7 months. 7 months, sorry. And so they should know the menu. Okay.
Oh, yeah, until you guys change it every 5 minutes. Change it from Parma to chicken pardon bleu.
Beep. Beep.
No, come on.
It's
like,
cheese on a Parma. I just call it that.
All right. We'll come back to that later. But like with this thing, like you should know if there's garlic in a dish. We've told you. Anytime.
No, you haven't. You told
who
me it was.
You worked with?
You told me it was chicken cordon bleu. Right? And that's as much as
you
I know.
You have worked with some jerks.
No, this is all chefs.
No, this is not all chefs.
You chefs think you're nice people.
We're lovely. We are so
and
laid
it's
back.
That kind of arrogance that makes us hate you. Oh no.
Wait stuff. Get a grip.
Oh no, we're not horrible people. You guys are just morons. All starting to sound a bit familiar.
Okay, look, there was this one time.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we've all got those stories, but I've worked with arrogant chefs, but I've also worked with arrogant waiters.
But it's not some chefs, it's all chefs.
But it's not all chefs.
Ring in if you've had a prick chef.
Ring in if you've dealt with an inept waiter who can't read a menu.
Your phones are going to be ringing hot.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Where are we?
The back beach. It's pretty unknown to tourists, but the locals know it well. It's where Harold Holt died or got kidnapped by the Russians in a submarine.
If I was the Russians, I too would not only stop at Port Secret's fine seafood.
It's seriously dangerous though. Some people surf here, but you've got to know what you're doing because, as you can tell, as opposed to the front beach,
yeah,
these are serious waves.
These are serious waves.
And it's rocks everywhere, and you can't see most of it.
I notice I'm the only person who brought swimming togs, as opposed to the other sorts of togs you get.
See that kind of white patch?
Yeah.
That's one of the most dangerous swells going around.
No.
You get in that, you are not coming out anytime soon. Same over there.
Yeah, look at the waves crashing. Yeah, Jesus.
No,
I can't believe this is the most one of the more important parts of Australian history right here, right?
Yeah.
is the only prime minister that you guys have ever lost, and nobody really knows why.
Don't quote me on that. I don't know the answer to that.
Yes, you can, Julia Gillard. Boom. I'm so hilarious. You know, my mom says I'm cool. I'm sure she does. Don't walk away from me. No. I thought that was quite funny.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.